Hi friends, thanks for listening to God Has a Plan for Your Life. My name is Kathy and I'll be your host for today. God's been putting it upon my heart with yesterday being February 14th. I know a lot of people celebrated Valentine's Day. But I want you to know who the true Valentine is. That's Jesus Christ. True love is when Jesus Christ died on the cross. His nails went through his hands and feet. The crown of thorns was on his head, and he shed his blood for you and me. That's true love. True love is found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So many times, people that are married or in marriages, they want their spouses to love them a certain way or unconditional love. Well, God gives us that love. He gives us what's called agape love. Agape love. It's a love that we could never understand and comprehend. His magnitude is so vast and so great. But the beautiful blessing about God, the beautiful thing that we need to know about God is that he loves us so much, even before we were ever born in our mother's womb. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know I have the plans for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, to give you a hope in our future." Our future is in Jesus Christ, not in just one day out of the year to show your love for someone. You shouldn't just show your love for your spouse one day on February 14th out of the year. You need to show your love to that spouse 365 days out of the year. Come on now, I'm preaching. You need to show your love to your children. Pray over them. Pray over them every morning and every night. I pray over our little girl every morning. We have a specific time when we pray, and that's when her and I are together and I'm taking her to school. That's our time of prayer. Some people may think, well, Kathy, how can you be praying in the car? Don't you need to close your eyes? No, you don't have to close your eyes to pray. You can have your specific prayer closet, a designated room in your house. It could be in your car. It could be in your worship time alone with the Lord, as long as it's between you and the Lord and whoever it is that you're praying for. And when you pray to God, when you pray over your children, don't just start asking God for specific things. Thank the Lord that they're alive, that they're healthy. Lord, I thank you that our little girl's healthy. I think that she's smart, that she's kind, that she's caring, that she has favor. And start giving God thanks for all the beautiful things that he has given you so far. Many people are complaining about what they don't have, and they don't thank the Lord what they do have. Breath of life. They don't thank the Lord that they have two legs to walk on, because there's other people that are crippled that may never have had that opportunity to know what it feels like to take their first step. Come on now, I'm preaching. What about thanking the Lord for your eyesight? When you wake up and you look at things, if you can see, be thankful for that. There's people that are blind walking around right now wishing that they could see the sun, wishing that they could see the sky, wishing that they can see the beauty that God made for you and for me. And they'll never get that chance until they're in heaven. God has so many blessings for us right in front of our faces, but so many times we take the very little things for granted. We take those very little things for granted. Yesterday I had the opportunity, we had a funeral that we attended. My husband's uncle had passed away, and that's where we spent Valentine's at the cemetery. At the church, remembering his uncle. And he was a pastor. He was a godly man. So what gives us comfort and joy is to know that he's in the presence of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, alongside with his wife. So we have to be thankful and we have to enjoy every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year that God gives us. Because the Bible says it plain. Tomorrow's not promised. We don't know when your last day will be. But in that church service during the funeral service, and it was a beautiful eulogy that they gave, the lady that spoke specifically stated, where will you be when you die? Have you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart? And that question may be asked 1,000 times in your lifetime. And maybe you may be pushing it off and thinking, I have more time. I'm too busy. I have a lot of assignments. I have a lot of quotas. I have a lot of data to accomplish up at work. I can handle that tomorrow. But tomorrow's not promised, and you don't know if you're going to get another chance to be asked that question. And if you never accepted Jesus Christ, what you decide on earth determines where you're going to go for all eternity. I see all over social media so many people posting about what they received for Valentine's, flowers, plants, chocolates, cards, gifts. But the one true gift for Valentine is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He gave us the gift of eternal salvation. Isn't that beautiful? A free gift of having our everlasting life to spend all eternity with our Lord and Maker. When you die, you're going to get that opportunity. You're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. There's going to be no second opportunities. There's going to be no second questions. They're just going to give you a statement. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of heaven. Or God's going to look at you and say, depart from me, you wicked sinner. I never knew you. There's going to be people that are going to say, but Lord, I was in church. But Lord, I prophesied in your name. But Lord, I casted out demons in your name. So many times it's so easy to say that you're a Christian. But when you profess that you're a Christian, your lifestyle has to live up to it. If you're professing to be a Christian, but then you're out there partying, drinking, getting high, smoking dope, and looking for your next big high, that's not a Christian. You're faced under a demonic hold on your life, which is a stronghold. And you need to be broken from that stronghold. The Bible says that love casts out all fear. The Bible says that also that we need to pray fervently. We need to pray. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Some of you are where you are today, or some of you may have accepted Christ this year, and it may be perhaps to your grandparents that prayed for you when you were born. The Bible says that when we begin to pray, our prayers become a sweet fragrance into the very nostrils of Jesus Christ. I want you to picture that. I want you to picture yourself praying wherever it may be, your prayer closet. It may be an actual closet. It may be your bedroom, your kitchen, your office, wherever it may be that you are one-on-one with God and you're praying and you're giving thanks to the Lord for all the blessings that He's bestowed upon you. And then those sweet prayers are like incense, a sweet fragrance that goes up to heaven, and there's an angel stirring up all the prayers of the people, of God's children down on earth. And He's stirring that bowl back and forth, round and round. And it becomes a sweet fragrance. And that fragrance goes into the very nostrils of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is pleased when you accept Him into your heart. He's pleased when you get on your knees and you pray to Him. And you worship Him and you read your Bible. I remember somebody asking me, well, Kathy, where do you read your Bible? I always like to read my Bible in secret. The Bible says that when you pray in secret, God will reward you in public. You don't have to show to everybody that that you're reading your Bible, or that you're praying, or that you're fasting. Many of you may be asking, well, what does fasting mean? Fasting is a consecration unto the Lord where you give up a meal. You may give up breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And during that time of fasting, you're reading God's Word. You're reading passages of the Bible. And you're getting in deep prayer with God. And the reason why you fast is so that God can hear you. You may be asking, well, doesn't God hear me when I just pray? Yes. But that's what breaks the bondage. It breaks the strongholds in your life through prayer and through fasting. If you're going through a difficult time and you've been praying and you haven't seen an answer yet, start fasting. Start fasting. God is a good God. Every day we should be giving thanks to the Lord. And every day we should celebrate the family that we have, love that we have. Don't let it just be on February 14th and express your love and put it all over social media. I got this person this, or they got me that. No, do it every day. Acts of kindness every day. Share with your spouse every day. Pray for your spouse every day. Your kids, your parents, if you have children, your loved ones. God is the best Valentine that we could ever have. He gave us the beautiful, most beautiful card ever, which is a Bible. That's a beautiful love letter that He gave to you and me. And it's time that we begin to read it from beginning to end. You may be asking, well, Kathy, I never read the Bible and it scares me. I don't know which Bible to get. Get the easiest Bible that you can, the NIV, or get a kid's Bible and begin to read from there. When you begin to sit down and truly be in the presence of Jesus Christ and just lift up your hands and say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for creating me. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, my past, present, and future. Holy Spirit, I ask you to guide me today where you want me to go. Where do you want me to do? Where do you want me to live? Who do you want me to marry? What career do you want me to be in? Who do you want me to speak to? You speak to them about you today, Lord. And God will begin to open up doors that were previously shut. He'll begin to show you things that you've never could comprehend or imagine. That's how good my God is. God is a God that provides. You may be struggling out there and wondering, how am I going to feed my children? How am I going to put food on the table? And just give that burden to God and say, Lord, I don't know how, but in your word says, it says that you will make a way where there is no way. It says you're my Jehovah Jireh, that you're my provider. Please provide for me a meal. Provide for my children. So many times parents will go out of their way to put their kids in a special athletic class, or may put them in music or art or sports, football, basketball, cheerleading. And they invest all their time in those classes, taking them to practice, making sure they hit the mark right, making sure they kick the ball right, making sure they catch the football. But then not one day do they ever open up their Bible and show their kids what they really need to spend time on. Invest in their future. Invest in their internal future so that when they die, they'll have that place to go to called heaven, called eternity. They'll be able to walk on those streets of gold. They'll be able to be in their mansion and celebrating with Jesus Christ and seeing all His splendor and magnitude. That's the kind of future that you need to be investing in. That's the kind of love that God has bestowed upon each and every one of us. God is a God of second, third, fourth chances. You may be thinking, well, Kathy, you don't know my situation. I'm a drug dealer. I'm a drug addict. And I'm hooked on drugs so badly. God's not going to love me. God won't forgive me. Yes, He will. If you ask Him into your heart and repent of your sins and ask Him to forgive you. Remember, my friends, there's nothing that goes hidden against God. His eyes go through and fro throughout the world. God knows everything about you. He knows your past, your present, and your future. He knows what you're doing right now at this very moment, whether it's pleasing Him or not. And when you do something that doesn't please the Lord, it grieves the Holy Spirit. But the Lord still loves you. The Lord hates the sin, but He loves the sinner. Let me say that again. The Lord hates the sin, but He loves the sinner. Let's say perhaps you or someone you know is in a homosexual lifestyle. That's not pleasing to the Lord, because the Bible says that that very act is an abomination to Him. But God still loves you. He hates the sin, but He loves the sinner. He wants you to repent of your ways and turn back to Him. Let's say that you're hooked on drugs and you can't get out of that stronghold, and you're doing everything that you can, and you think that you have to be perfect to come to Jesus Christ. God says, come the way that you are. It's His power. It's His faithfulness. It's His love. It's His mercy. It's His grace that can change your circumstance in an instant or in a process, whichever way God wants to do it in your life. But you have to surrender. You have to cast all your cares, all your burdens, all your fears, all your troubles, all your anxieties, and cast it to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and put it at His feet. My friends, too many times we think that we can do God's job, and we begin to question God. But God, why did this happen? But God, why did you allow that person to die? But God, why did you allow that person to get the promotion instead of me? And God's saying to you today, let go of those things that lie behind. Press on towards the mark, the goal, the prize. I'm God. I don't have to answer to anyone. That's what God's saying. God doesn't have to answer to anyone. You know, when you're working for a company and you're working for someone else, you have to report to a specific person. It may be a hiring manager. It may be a vice president. It may be a CEO or president of the company. You have to report to someone. And then you have to give an account for all the work that you've been doing throughout the month, throughout the week, throughout the day. They're going to be asking you questions. How are you going to avoid this situation? How are we going to meet our quota? How are you going to get to this level? And that's what we have to do with God as Christians. We're going to have to report to God one day about our lifestyle, about our choices, about our actions. God gives us perfect will and permissive will. Remember, my friends, permissive will is what we desire, what we want for our life, where we want to go, what we want to do. Perfect will is being in God's perfect will, God's perfect alignment of where we need to go. And when we're in God's perfect will, we're always going to be happy. We're going to be content. Because remember, my friends, God says that He holds us in the palm of His hands, and no one can snatch us out. So start asking God to guide you where He wants you to be. So many times people make plans and God turns that plan and situation around, and He's going to send you in the opposite direction. But God's going to keep calling you until you come to Him. He's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's never going to push. He's never going to shove. He's never going to force. You're listening to this podcast today. You had the opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ, about His love, sending His Son to die on the cross for you and me, to shed His blood so that we could spend eternity with Him. Now the decision is up to you, whether or not you want to take that free gift called eternal salvation. Many of you are in a different religion. You may be a Catholic, and you're like, well, I'm a Catholic, and I'm fine. I pray the rosary every day. No, my friends. There's no purgatory. Purgatory, the Catholics believe that there's a purgatory, that there's in between. That if you die, they can pray the rosary. And if your soul's in purgatory, that your soul will leave purgatory and go to heaven. And that's not the case, my friends. There's only two places that you're going to go, heaven or hell. God says that He is the way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can enter except into heaven except through Him. You can't pay your way into heaven. You can't bow down to Allah and say, Allah, get me into heaven. Or you can't pray to Buddha or Hare Krishna and ask them, please get me into heaven. The only way you can get into heaven is through Jesus Christ and having a personal relationship with Him and asking Him to forgive you of your sins. You may be asking, well, Kathy, I did that as a child. You may have done that as a child, but is your lifestyle, is your actions, what you're doing today, is it pleasing the Lord? And you may be asking, well, Kathy, I don't know if it pleases the Lord. Then I'll give you one thing to know if it pleases the Lord. If Jesus Christ came on earth today and was standing right beside you and was with you in your house, was with you everywhere that you go, and in fact, He does go with us everywhere because the Bible is very clear. He never leaves us nor forsake us. So I want you to get a visualization and picture Jesus Christ getting in the car with you to go to work. Going to the grocery store with you, to your friend's house, to your family's house, to any activities that you may attend on the weekend. And I want you to ask yourself, if Jesus Christ was with you everywhere that you go, and He is, would He be pleased what you're doing, the places that you're attending? And if the answer is no, then that's how you know that you're not living right for the Lord. If you're in your car and on the weekend, a friend of yours invites you to a club and you say yes, and you go to that club and you're listening to worldly secular music that's downgrading women, or it's an atmosphere that's full of drugs and alcohol and cigarettes, that's not pleasing to the Lord. Would you take Jesus Christ there to that place? No, you wouldn't. Come on now, I'm preaching. The Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 was given to us as well by Jesus Christ. And it's something so beautiful where it guides us and protects us. Have you ever been thinking of going somewhere and then the Holy Spirit says, no, you're not going to go there. It's not safe for you. I don't want you to go down this street. There's going to be a bad accident. You could get killed. Turn away, go in the opposite direction. If you've ever felt that, or you were in a particular house or particular room or situation and something just didn't feel right and you just left, that's the Holy Spirit warning you and trying to help you to turn away and get out of that situation because He knows that it would have brought you harm instead of bringing you peace. I want you to know that today is February 15th. Yesterday already passed. You may have had a good day yesterday. You may have had a bad day. The good news is that God is still on the throne. He's still our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He knows about your situation. He knows about what you're going through. He loves you with an unconditional agape love. And it's your choice where you want to spend eternity. Forever and ever. God's greatest gift for mankind was when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and me and shed His blood. And 3 days later, He rose again so that we could have eternal life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, I want you to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sin today. I ask You to come into my heart. I turn my back on sin. I turn my back on the devil. I turn my back on the demon forces, and I accept you into my heart today. I believe in John 3:16 that you said, "For whoever believes in you shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I thank you for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is a big book in heaven, who's ever accepted Jesus Christ into their heart. And I believe if I were to die in a tragic car accident, my name would be written in that book. And I would hear you say, "Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of heaven." But if you never accepted Jesus Christ, and if you mock God, if you disobey him and reject him, you're going to hear the words, "Depart from me, you wicked sinner, I never knew you." You will spend eternity in hell, total separation from Jesus Christ. You're one step away from your future and your destiny of where you will spend eternity. And God loves you with an agape love. He wants you to make the right choice. God doesn't send you to hell. The people send themselves to hell when they reject him. And you need to pray and ask God to forgive you. A perfect example is Damar Hamlin. You all know the football player that had a heart attack, a cardiac arrest on the football field. And millions of people all over the world prayed for him when he was on that field. And God gave him a second chance at life. But then, on Super Bowl weekend, they see a video and show a picture of Damar Hamlin wearing a jacket that's mocking God, that has a cross in the back of that jacket, and it's mocking God. And that's called blasphemy. So you need to be careful, my friends, of who you listen to, what you watch, and who you're following. The one you should be more concerned about is following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who created the universe, the one who can restore your soul and forgive you of your sins. That's who we should be following, no one else. Thank you so much for listening to God Has a Plan for Your Life. My name is Kathy, and thank you for hearing the Word of God today. Remember, my friends, our Valentine is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the beautiful card that you can receive ever in your lifetime from anyone is his beautiful love letter called the Bible. You read it daily and let him begin to change your life. Thank you again for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.